today as we come to the table.
Gadara and the demons, when they were talking to Jesus, literally they said this right here. They said, do not throw us in the abuso. Do not throw us in the abyss. Do not throw us in the, and what it literally means is, the bottomless pit. Now, I'll read this and we'll describe more about that in a minute. Notice, and they'll be shut up in the prison. The Bible says they'll be there 1,000 years until judgment day. After many days, they'll be punished. That is 1,000 years. They'll be let out. Talks about the end of Revelation. Death and Hades called up to stand before the Lord. Then the moon will be disgraced. The sun will be ashamed. That is because the glory of the Lord will be so much greater than even anything created. He's given this whole kind of picture of as if the sun and moon could be ashamed. They'll be ashamed at the glory of the Lord compared to them.
Imagine you're stuck in a tiny, dark room. No light, no room to stretch your legs. It would be pure torture, right? So picture this. What would it really be like to find yourself in that bottomless pit from the Bible? Just picture it. Even the demons are too scared to set foot inside. So you can only guess the sheer terror of being locked up in that place. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. Today, Pastor Mark tells you about the abyss, sharing insights on how Satan and his followers will ultimately find their place there. When the judgment period wraps up, it won't just be Lucifer and his crew heading there. Those who turned their backs on Christ will join them too. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Isaiah, chapter 24, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Being prophecy, you have to have that timeline. But now in your timeline, prophetically, we're in the middle of the Great Tribulation. Now all of a sudden, we're jumping to the Millennial Kingdom. This is now after the second coming, Jesus is back. And notice this, only for a few verses. They shall lift up their voice and they shall sing. This is us. That is those who get in the kingdom. For the majesty of the Lord, they shall cry aloud from the sea. So Jesus will have taken over, and we're rejoicing now as he's restoring the earth. Because after God destroys the earth in his judgment against the gods of the earth, he's going to restore everything. The oceans will be restored. The land will be restored. It's going to be beautiful again. So although it gets kind of wiped out, it's going to be restored. And that's where we're going to be living in during that 1,000 years. Therefore, glorify the Lord in the dawning light, the name of the Lord God of Israel and the coastlands of the sea. From the ends of the earth, we have heard songs. Glory to the righteous. So what he's saying is, all over the earth, everybody's going to be praising the Lord. Isn't that going to be great? No matter where you go, and you're going to hear praises. You know, sometimes you walk in a store and you hear some music in the background. You're doing whatever. Suddenly you catch it. Hey, that's Chris Tomlin. that's whatever. They're playing Christian music here or whatever. And it's kind of cool. It makes you feel good, you know, and thinking it's just a normal business and they're playing it. It's going to be that way all over the earth. Everybody's going to be, you know, playing, you know, godly music and singing to the Lord and praising the Lord. It's going to be just worldwide at that time. And so that's what's happening there. The righteous are going to be saying, but now all of a sudden you see Isaiah in this vision, he gets a little snippet of what it's going to be like. And then suddenly he gets pulled back to reality of right now and says, but I said, I'm ruined. Woe is me. The treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously. Indeed, the treacherous dealers have dealt very treacherously. In other words, I see the glory coming, but the Antichrist and all those that are lying in the last days and the great tribulation, they're lying to the world. They're dealing treacherously with the world. They're making the world take a mark where they can't buy or sell, and they're making the world do all these things, right? He's saying it's treacherous. You know, it's interesting when you read about the Antichrist, it says that he's going to be a schemer. He's going to have very sinister schemes, the Bible says. He's going to have a lot of wisdom to trick the world into doing a lot of crazy things. And sometimes I wonder if he's not already at work in some back room after some of the things we've seen go on the last couple of years. I think, man, how do you get the whole world to go along with what just happened the last couple of years without somebody really thinking that thing through? And I don't think any man's smart enough. See, Satan knows we're motivated mostly by what? Money? That's a good one. I think about it. That's a good answer, probably better than mine. But fear. Fear and money. If you can make people afraid, you can move masses to do all kinds of things. I think we just saw that happen, didn't we? These are again, I think, too smart for man. And the Bible says the Antichrist is going to be a man of sinister schemes, a very intelligent. He's going to have wisdom from Satan that's going to let him know, look, I've been watching mankind for thousands of years. I know how to move them. Tell them they're all going to die. Yeah, but not over 99% are living. Well, just they won't pay attention to that. They'll ignore that. Just tell them people are dying all around you, and you need to go do. Look what happens. See, when you really look at the numbers, you realize over the last couple of years, we really pretty much worldwide got hoodwinked. And I'm not trying to be political. I'm just looking now as we get farther down the road and we look back at the facts. I see what's going on with them trying to push these things on our kids. And there, most of the states in America, zero children died. Overall in America, 0.02% died. And they want all of our kids to get a shot. I mean, what's going on? You begin to go, wait a minute. And why is everybody just going along and nobody's saying anything? Well, some people are saying something. I mean, but I didn't mean to get off on this. I need to get back to the word. There's going to be a lot more of this. Satan knows how to move mankind. He knows how to move us along in masses. He knows how to get everybody to do what needs to be done. And the reason that you are such an irritant to the world in many ways is that you guys, the Spirit speaks to you and you don't always walk along with the crowd. The whole crowd's kind of moving in this big mass direction. You're kind of standing there going, well, I'm going to kind of watch this for a minute and see if the house is really on fire. Because I don't want to just like burn up and have all my friends burn up. And then you watch for a minute and go, okay, there was a little flame in there, but hey guys, the house is fine. We're not really burning down. And they don't like it. They get upset with us because we're led by the Spirit of God. There's going to be a lot more of this, a lot more. Be ready for it. Sinister schemes in the last days, the Bible says, are happening. He says, they've dealt treacherously, very treacherously. Fear and the pit and the snare are upon you, O inhabitant of the earth. And it shall be that he who flees from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit. And he who comes up from the midst of the pit shall be caught in the snare. In other words, there's no escape. When this judgment happens, I don't care what yacht you have, what island you own, how much money, where you're going to fly. When you land, it's going to be waiting on you, disaster. You're not going to get away from it. She shall be caught in the snare, for the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth are shaken. Now, it gets into this whole thing about what's going to be happening to the earth. And notice this. This is literal talking about what's going to happen. The earth is violently broken. The earth is split open. The Bible talks about massive earthquakes and an earthquake like the world has never seen during the Great Tribulation. Imagine if the earth just split open. What kind of earthquake would that do to the entire world? I mean, I've never been in really any kind of earthquake of any measure. But those of you that from California, which is most of our body now, you have experienced this. And it freaked you out if you were ever in one of any measure. This is like nothing anybody's ever experienced. The entire earth is going to split open. The Bible talks about the earth breaking open and Tartarus being opened in the center of the earth. The Bible talks about a jail in the center of the earth. We'll talk about that more in just a moment. Jesus talked about it in Luke 16. Says he descended to the heart of the earth where, again, the believers are being held as well as those that were in Tartarus and this Hades that were down there. A lot of things going on. We don't have time to get real sidetracked on that. We'll talk about it again a second before we're done. But the earth's going to be split open. This may be, and it says that there's going to be some of the fallen angels, some of the demons that are locked up. They've been locked up early. Remember the demons that said to the Lord when the men that were demon-possessed there in Gadara, and they said, don't throw us into the pit before our time or whatever. They know there's a place because they knew that some of their buddies had already been locked up. Well, this may be when they're released. It says in Revelation that this hole in the earth is going to be opened up and these demons are going to come out of it. And it might be when this earthquake happens that literally breaks the earth and splits it open. And these guys, the Lord lets them be released. But notice the earth is shaken exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard and shall totter like a hut. Think about a drunkard. You ever seen somebody really, really drunk, how they fall back and forth and hit things? That's how the earth's going to be shaking. Imagine that, the intensity of that. And he says, its transgression shall be heavy upon it. It will fall and it will not rise. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will punish on high the host of the exalted ones. Now, what's he talking about? Now, notice this. He's saying at this time, God's going to judge the fallen angels. Again, the exalted host on high, he's talking about the angelic realm, those that fell with Satan. Some of them have been locked up in Tartarus, it talks about in 2 Peter. But some of them, again, right here, are still loose, and God's going to now bring some punishment against these ones. They're all going to be locked up during the thousand-year reign. Satan and the fallen angels will all be locked up in the center of the earth during the millennial kingdom of Christ. They'll be released at the end. That's a whole other Bible study, but he's talking about it here. He says he's going to punish the host of the exalted ones, and on earth, so now he's coming back down to earth, the kings of the earth. And notice this, all those, the kings of the earth that are being judged and these exalted fallen angels, notice what it says will happen to them, verse 22. They will be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, literally the abuso or the bottomless pit is what it means. Now, again, we talked about the pit all through the Old Testament. The Bible talks about the pit, the pit, the pit. We tend to think, oh, he's just talking about, you know, it's just something bad. No, it's a literal place. That's why, again, with Gadara and the demons, when they were talking to Jesus, literally, they said this right here. They said, do not throw us in the abuso. Do not throw us in the abyss. Do not throw us in the, and what it literally means is, the bottomless pit. Now, I'll read this, and we'll describe more about that in a minute. Notice, and they'll be shut up in the prison. The Bible says they'll be there 1,000 years until judgment day. After many days, they'll be punished. That is 1,000 years. They'll be let out. Talks about the end of Revelation. Death and Hades called up to stand before the Lord. Then the moon will be disgraced, the sun will be ashamed. That is because the glory of the Lord will be so much greater than even anything created. He's given this whole kind of picture of as if the sun and moon could be ashamed. They'll be ashamed at the glory of the Lord compared to them. For the Lord of hosts will reign on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his elders gloriously. So we're going to be there for 1,000 years reigning with the Lord. Is that exciting or what? I can't wait. It's like, let's just go right now. Wouldn't that be great? Anyway. It's like that pastor that said he gave the altar call and everybody raised their hand but one little kid. You know, everybody, and just kind of, okay, that's amazing that everybody raised their hand but one kid. So he asked the kid afterwards. He said, I know. He said, everybody raised their hand when I said, do you want to go to heaven? He said, what about you? You didn't raise your hand. He was going to try to lead him to the Lord or whatever. And I guess it was a very successful night or whatever. And he said, don't you want to go to heaven? He said, yeah, I want to go. He said, why didn't you raise your hand? He said, I thought you were getting up a group to go tonight. You know, he's like, so he wanted to stick around a little bit longer. So as prisoners are gathered in the pit, you know, it's interesting. It's called the bottomless pit, this holding tank. Again, if you want to read it about it, Jesus talks about it in Luke 16. All in the Old Testament, it talks about the pit. Revelation talks about this place where the angels will be cast, where those that are, you know, the fallen angels will be held until judgment day. Satan will be locked up 1,000 years, Revelation, etc. But it's interesting. It always refers to a bottomless pit. Where is the only place you can have a bottomless pit or a bottomless prison? What is the only shape that works? Round. There's no bottom to a round sphere. And being at the center of the earth, as the earth is round, there would be no bottom to it. That's why he calls the center of the earth the bottomless pit. Now, it gets even cooler. Well, it gets hotter, but here's my point. When you get to the center of the earth, it's zero gravity. Why? Because you've come down to the very fulcrum, the very center, and now in all directions, gravity's moved now in all directions, again, every way, so it's literally zero gravity. We know that from the scientific calculations and all that you do, whatever. Which means if you were in the center of the earth, you literally would just be floating, and there would be no bottom because it would be round. That is the perfect definition. Now we know science catching up with the Bible, as it always is a little slow, but catching up, a bottomless pit. Isn't that cool or hot or however you want to look at it? That's where they are. So I don't know. I don't want to take this too far, but I was thinking, what would it be like to be down there in this bottomless pit and all that heat locked up for 1,000 years? And I never thought about it in the sense of zero gravity, although I know that it's zero gravity. I mean, would you just kind of be floating around, you know, like on a space shuttle or something? I don't know. But anyway, I'll let you run with that. And now we come to the millennial kingdom and Chapter 25, notice this. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things. Your counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. For you've made a city a ruin, a fortified city a ruin. That's the judgments have happened. A palace of foreigners to be a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore, the strong people will glorify you. That's us, the believers. The city of the terrible nations will fear you. For you've been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shade from the heat, and a blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against a wall. You will reduce the noise of aliens as heat in a dry place, as heat in the shadow of a cloud. The song of the terrible ones will be diminished. And in this mountain, that is where Zion is, where the Lord is. Notice this description, guys. This gets me even more excited about the kingdom. Look at this. And in this mountain, that is where the Lord is, the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of choice pieces. That is the best meat you can imagine, okay? A feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, a well-refined wines on the lees. And he will destroy on this mountain the surface of the covering, cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over the nations. So God will lift the blindness, the spiritual blindness that's been on the nations, and there's going to be a great feasting on the Temple Mount area. We're going to be going to Israel and feasting with the Lord. Is that going to be great or what? I get excited about this. I think, but what's it going to be like? He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord will wipe away tears from all faces. Now, again, real quickly on this, just make a comment, because I have had this question recently several times. How can all these things, because even once we're in the millennial kingdom, we're still going to see again some future judgments and the final judgment day and all that happens. And people say, how can it say all tears will be wiped away in that future judgment? Here's the bottom line. You're not going to think the way you think now by that time. You're going to be a brand new being and a brand new body, thinking the way God thinks, seeing the way God sees, and the things that make us weep today are not going to make us weep. It's not that God doesn't weep over what's weep worthy. But you have to remember, by the time this happens, those that are being judged have earned that judgment. They've had the opportunity to be saved through Christ and rejected it. And so it's not going to be a moment of weeping as we think of today, such as a lost family member or a lost friend. By then, our true family in heaven is going to be united together in the same mindset of God, in the same vision of those that are righteous and those that are unrighteous. And so when the judgments are carried out, there won't be weeping because it'll be from God's viewpoint. So anyway, that's not to get too sidetracked in that, but he'll wipe away all tears from faces, the rebuke of his people. He'll take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. And it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For on this mountain, the hand of the Lord will rest, and Moab shall be trampled down under him. Do you remember what Moab's talking about? Petra. Remember Amy? Those of you that were here, and I had the map up there, and we saw Ammon, Moab, or rather Ammon, Moab, and Edom. See, I had to remember, but I remembered Amy. So that side, Edom and Moab are linked together in many of these things because they kind of overlap in that region of where Petra is. But this is talking about the judgment of Petra. Now, before we read the rest of this, get this picture in mind again. The Bible says rapture takes place, great tribulation begins, God's pouring out his wrath right before the second coming. Actually, at the midway point of 3.5 years, the Antichrist will stand up in Jerusalem and from the Temple Mount declare that he's God and demand that the world worship him, the Bible says. And then the Jews who know the Bible and have gotten saved after the rapture will flee down to Petra because they're going to know the Lord said to do that in Matthew 24 as well as other places in the Old Testament. They're going to go down to Petra. God's going to supernaturally protect them down there in Petra. It's going to be the only place. We said there's no place to escape. There will be one place. If you can make it to Petra, God's going to supernaturally protect that during that final 3.5 years. They'll be down there in Petra. And then the Bible says in Isaiah 63, which we'll get to before too long, years from now. No, we'll get there faster than that. We're covering a few chapters tonight. When we get to 63, you're going to see that it talks about the Lord is going to come down there and he's going to himself trample the armies of the Antichrist that are trying to destroy the Jews down there in Petra. See, when we think about Armageddon, I want you to get a different picture in your mind. Armageddon is going to be spread out for many, many miles. 1,200 furlongs. I forget what that comes out to right now off the top of my head. Basically, it goes from Armageddon, the area of Armageddon in northern Israel, all the way down to Petra. The armies of the Antichrist will be spread out, what we call the Battle of Armageddon. It's a massively long battle that covers a huge, area, hundreds of miles all the way down there. And so, but what's going to happen is when the Lord comes back, the first place he's going to go before he wipes out the rest of the armies and settles in at Jerusalem to establish his kingdom and finish the battle, he's going to go down to Petra first, down here to Moab in that area. And the Antichrist armies are going to be gathered around Petra. Now, after this 3.5 years they've been fleeing, God's been protecting them. He's going to muster his forces to go and try to wipe out the Jews because he hates God and he hates the Jews. And he's going to gather around, and Jesus is going to come back and himself defend the Jewish people and wipe out the armies of the Antichrist at Petra, then come back and really finish the Battle of Armageddon up in that region and down in Jerusalem. So again, we'll get to that later on. We get to Isaiah 63. But I want you to have that in mind because listen, it describes that. He's talking about Petra here. He says, for on this mountain, verse 10, the Lord will rest, and Moab shall be trampled down under him. That is, Jesus will come. As a matter of fact, when you read Isaiah 63, it says, who is this coming from Petra with blood on his robes? And then he answers, it's the Lord mighty in battle. How did Jesus get blood on his robes? You're going to read about it right now. He says, he's going to trample them down under him as straw is trampled down for the refuse heap. This is so, picture this in your mind. He will spread out his hand in their midst as a swimmer reaches out to swim. I mean, I don't know whether it's going to be this kind of thing or it's going to be this kind of thing or what it's going to be, but it's going to be this thing where the Lord's just going to come and go, and the armies are going to just be thrown all directions and wiped out. And he's going to say, get away from my people. It's going to be awesome. Listen, and let me just, I want to say this again. Those of you that know me know my heart on this, but I want to say it again, especially your first-time visitor or streaming, you know, and if you're a first-time visitor and you've stayed, then I just want to commend you. But I don't rejoice, and God doesn't rejoice, that anybody's going to die. The Bible says that God desires that what? That none perish. Then what's happening here? Why do we go, this is going to be awesome? These are those who transgressed. They willingly said, we hate you, and we're going to fight against you and everything you stand for and try to kill your people. Now, that's who we're talking about, okay? You with me? And when you see that, and you're there with your loved ones and your babies and your wives and your people, and you see the Lord come in and go, whoa, you're like, yes! It's like when you're trapped by the enemy and they come in with all their planes and helicopters and wipe out those around you that are trying to cut off your head and just, you know, destroy you. So that's when I rejoice. That's my rejoicing in that. But I get this picture. Sometimes you see these movies where, you know, they have this thing where somebody, I don't know, puts down some stab, boom, and they do big sound and people fly all directions or whatever. It's that kind of thing. The Lord's just going to boom. And they're done. They're done. Just amazing. And he brings down their pride together with the trickery of their hands. The fortress of the high fort of your walls, he will bring down and lay low and bring to the dust, down to the dust. We're going to stop there. It's a little early, but that's okay. I'm not going to try to push it and squeeze in real fast, whatever, just to get this last one. And next we get into this song of salvation. It says, after all this happens, the Lord establishes his kingdom. We're going to be singing praise songs to the Lord. And this is so cool. You already know the words to one of them. This is going to be one of the praise songs we're going to be singing in heaven. So you can actually memorize the words now. I mean, you'll know it, I'm sure, supernaturally when you get there. But, I mean, you already know it. You're going to be ready to sing it if you learn it now. What the tune's going to be, I don't know. I wish I did know, but it's going to be great. So we'll see that next week, this song we're singing to the Lord. And again, God establishing the kingdom and the peace that happens in the millennial kingdom. And then we'll get to the end of chapter 26 and believe what I think is another picture in the Old Testament of the rapture. We'll get there when we later on. Go ahead and read 26, 27, 28. And from there to the end of Revelation. You can't read too much of the Bible. Go ahead and read the next four chapters or so. We covered, what, three or four? So we'll cover three or four next time and whatever. But soak in the Word. Soak in the Lord. Is Jesus great or what? Amen. You know, don't you love the Lord? I love the Lord. He's so amazing. And just to think, you know, we're going to see again, it's interesting that there's going to be a place here in the future. It talks about that those that get saved after the rapture, during the Great Tribulation, they're going to be rejoicing in their God and praising Him. What does that tell you? Even in the midst of the worst possible circumstances this world has ever seen, when Jesus fills your heart, you can still rejoice.
Thank you for joining us today for another broadcast of Come to the Table. Pastor Mark Kirk is coming to you from Calvary, Knoxville, in Knoxville, Tennessee. As Pastor Mark proceeds in his series on the book of Isaiah, we eventually see that Isaiah's words of warning go unheeded. Despite his best efforts, the people of Israel and Judah continue to rebel against God, and they open up attacks from the enemies in Assyria and Babylon. If this were any other nation, this would likely have been the end of their story, but not for Israel. See, as God's chosen people, the Lord supernaturally protected the Israelites, even in their rebellion and exile. We are given hope, even in moments of despair, because we know that the Lord will eventually make a way for all to come home. While we may have sinned in the past, The Lord gives us a clean slate and allows us the opportunity to make the right choices in the future. We're never going to be able to serve Him perfectly, but we can strive to serve Him as best we can every single day. If you'd like to learn more about what it means to serve God, you can visit our website at thewaymedia.net. While you're there, click on the Come to the Table link and then click on Questions and Comments so that you can get connected with us. You can also find more studies from Pastor Mark on various books of the Bible to help guide you in your own studies through God's Word. Well, we're just about out of time for today's program. Pastor Mark is going to continue his series on the book of Isaiah next time, so we hope you'll join us once again as we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.